Today on the Heart Journey podcast, we have Dr. Mia Wright. She is a pastor with her husband. She's also the pastor that ran George Floyd's funeral during COVID. That was an interesting time. And we've been friends for a while. She's an amazing woman. And you're going to hear her talk about the dark night of the soul, resting in Christ. We're going to talk about coming out of destruction into peace. We're going to talk about God transforming our nature, and we're going to talk about God healing the broken heart and healing us in areas where we are timid. Also, if you struggle with rejection, if you struggle with an identity of rejection, I have a free resource for you. You can go to drbarbaraministries.org/rejection. All right, here is Dr. Mia. Well, I am so excited to have Dr. Mia Wright with us. Oh my gosh, Dr. Mia, so excited to have you. Pastor Mia, Dr. Mia, woo! This is my girl. She's gotten her PhD since we met. So now we're like Dr. Mia and Dr. Barbara.
Yes, hello, doctor. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I actually have my EDD. I didn't work on the PhD. Interesting thing was that when I was researching the different schools of thought, it said the PhD seek to understand the world, the EDD seek to change the world. And I thought, which is it? Do I want more understanding or do I want transformation? And so it meshed a lot better with what my purpose in life and what I feel like God would have me do in the season. So I went for the EDD. Maybe one day I'll go for the PhD.
Yeah. You know what the Lord told me recently, because I love learning and I think you're similar. It's like, I just finished a year about a year and a half ago, or maybe, about a year and a half ago, I finished a year over at Duke School of Theology. It was so much fun. Wow. And so I was working full time plus doing a year, doing a full time load at Duke, but I loved it. And so I've been out about a year and a half and I'm like, Lord, I'm getting antsy. Maybe I should get my spiritual director credential. Here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, you can do that and you can spend your time doing that, or you can spend your time winning souls. And I knew that the Lord was saying, I have something for you. And it's not, as much as you love learning, that's not where you're direction, you know, your spiritual direction doesn't need to be in spiritual direction right now. And so it's so important to hear him. And sometimes it's funny because some people are like, I don't like school. But for me, it's like, lay down your soul life. Don't go to school.
I know. I enjoy learning. I'm a lifelong learner as well. I've always been a good student and really enjoyed every class that I've taken. I had something I could learn from that. And so I feel like you, it's like, slow down and don't be a professional student. Put this stuff to work.
Amen.
Yes. Well, it's a pleasure to be back with you again. You look well. I'm delighted to see that we're still in the same vibe. You've got your black, white, and cream, and you can't see my cream pants, but I have my black, red, and cream. I have mine on as well. I love the frames as well.
Thank you. So y'all, when I met Dr. Mia, we met around the World Women's Wholeness Summit, and I think you were in school then, and we went through COVID. We would encourage each other through COVID, and you actually had George Floyd's funeral at your church, and it was when everything was shut down. And I remember just how deeply I was holding you in my heart during that time. And so I've seen you complete your doctoral degree, we'll call it, and continue to pastor this amazing church. And yet I know that was hard, and I know that you've been through many hard things. And right before we pressed record, I said, let's stop because this conversation is getting way too good and we need it online for everyone. And so we were talking about how the Lord takes us it's like he takes us outside of our comfort zone continuously, where we feel like literally a lifelong learner with God, like we're out of that comfort zone. And he brings us into that place of having a contrite heart, that bottom. It's like, I feel like I hit a bottom and then have an epic comeback and have a bottom and hit an epic comeback. But it's a bottoming, not necessarily external, but of the soul, where I realize my need for him. And in the places too, where maybe my heart has been broken and I'm bringing it to him to heal it or to transform it, or I realize my broken heart has caused me to walk in cycles of dysfunction. And so I was wondering if you could talk to us about that pattern in your life and what the Lord has done to really transform your heart in places where it's been broken and in the hard places.
Ooh, that's deep, girl.
I don't do shallow. You
know, yes, I hear you. And it's the depth that helps people to really be honest with themselves and also to recognize when they find themselves in those patterns as well. You know, as you were speaking, I really was thinking about Ruth in the Bible and how, you know, Ruth was married to one of Naomi's sons and learning a whole new culture. You know, you're the new wife coming in, right? So you're the new person, everybody else consistent in who they are. Mm-hmm. But Ruth had to really make some life adaptations and adjustments to learn how to exist in this new family that she was in. And then the world just got torn upside down for her when, you know, her husband died and then her father-in-law died. And then her mother-in-law says, go back to your people. And Ruth is like, wait a minute, you know, you're telling me to go be somebody that I no longer am. And she had to go into a new place. She didn't have to. She decided to follow after Naomi and to go with Naomi into the place that Naomi was from. And she had to learn even deeper customs that, you know, she's living in a far different land now. She's learning deeper customs. She's learning about a kinsman redeemer. She's learning how to go out and glean in the wheat fields. And she's listening and she has this teachable spirit that Naomi tells her what to do, and Ruth follows after that plan. And God had something incredible prepared for her because she was open to what God wanted to do in that new season of life. And so I find myself in similar places sometimes, not that my husband has died or anything like that, but that life itself has death or things that come to an end or things that no longer serve where I am in life. And there are things that God will shut down and relationships that God will cause an end to, you know. And it's almost like, you know, not that we're no longer friends, it's just, or no longer acquaintances, we're just any longer close like we were. And in those times, in those spaces, I find myself really kind of seeking, who do I cling after? Like Ruth clung after Naomi, you know, don't tell me to leave you again. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Where you live, I'm going to live. Your people will be my people. Your God's my God. And she made such an incredible sacrifice. I asked God, you know, keep me in that space and let me be open and willing to be able to make the sacrifices that are necessary so that he is leading me and I'm allowing him as Lord to reign over my life. You know, when I get to those spaces and I'm not in a familiar space, mm-hmm. you know, being in higher education, it was not a familiar space for me. I mean, I've gone to college, I've gone to seminary, but I didn't do another seminary degree. And, you know, I was looking at the shifts and the changes in religion in the world, and specifically the developing changes in USA. And I'm asking God, how can I be more effective in my ministry? And for me, Barbara, the answer wasn't do more in the church. You're doing a lot in the church, but it was see what you can do outside of the church, because not everybody's going to be in the church. And so for me, going in through education was really, you know, challenging. I was in, you know, sometimes felt like a fish out of water. Like, should I question myself? Should I have gone to Duke Divinity? Should I have gone and gotten on a doctor of divinity or, you know, stayed in this field? But God spoke to me to do something different because what I do is transformation. And that's where my degree is educational doctorate, but it's in transformational change. So how do I help people embrace life changes? So it's a personal as well as a corporate setting. So how do we help people change? And then I have to certainly look and dig deep into myself. How do I help myself change? Right? How do I embrace those changes that are part of my life? So I hope that kind of gets to the root of where you're asking the questions, but it's about change. It's really about change and being ready to embrace what God has for you.
It's so good. I love that you brought up Ruth. Of course, we love the book, the story of Ruth. And when you think about her, she was born in Moab, and there's a lot, you know, Moab, there's a lot, that whole tribe was kind of born out of incest, actually. Yeah. And she was born under the god of destruction, Chemosh, the god of destruction. So, you know, sometimes we're in a bad place because of our own sin. But other times we're in a bad place because of other people's sin, and you just kind of arrive on the scene, and you know you go through child abuse or whatever, and it doesn't seem fair, and yet we still have that opportunity for transformational change. Mm-hmm. And I think about the way that she clung to Naomi is the way we cling to the Lord. And yeah. Then another thought I had when you were talking is that recently I was telling the Lord, I was like, you know, a lot of times I feel like I'm trying to lead things and I want someone to come alongside and lead with me. And we were talking about this notion of my husband's mother's garden, and she would go out and she would garden every year, and she would till and she would plant different things. And there are seasons of the garden, but she was the gardener and the Lord brought the increase. And when we have a vision, we would love for Ruth to come alongside of us like that. But we change as we are the gardener with the Lord, you know, that he's the vine, we're planted in him. And then he gives us a garden that we're to care for, we're to plant, we're to till, and to create transformational change. And sometimes that can feel lonely, but he is our vine. He's our source. Yeah. And we abide in that source. Yeah. And I thought that was a good word. And I think in those places, we can feel lonely in our calling, and that loneliness can be an invitation for sin, but it can also be an invitation from the Lord, where the echoes or the shadow side of our wounds call us, but we're saying, no, I'm going to plug into the Lord in that place.
Oh, yeah. So
I'm going to go a little deeper. So put on our seatbelts.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you can take us to a moment where you felt like this really feels almost like too hard, like that. I've been there actually even in the past 4 years where it's like, oh my gosh, this, I never understood before why people fell away from the Lord. But when the Lord brings you to a place where it's like, no, let the dead bury the dead. You move on with me. You didn't realize something had a hold of your heart, and you got to choose in that place to follow him. And I did that. And I know that. Can you bring us to a place where was that for you?
Yeah. I was actually sharing with some friends at lunch this week. And this is so recent. This was this week. Mm-hmm. So, the last 3-4 months I have been really serving, really giving, doing a lot. And it was so much that I had to start writing down the things that I was doing, because my role is manifold. I don't have like one job, right? I have many jobs, and my job is often, nobody's doing this, so you got to do it, right? So a lot of times I find myself stepping up to assist and carry through and execute and plan or prepare things that need to be done that have hit a roadblock. And so I find myself really giving. And for the last 3 or 4 months, I have been working like 10 hours a day. Yeah. And 7 days a week. And usually I used to be good about protecting at least one day in the week that I would say, you know what, I need a day of rest. I need a day to relax.
Yeah.
I need a day to catch up with myself. I hadn't done laundry in forever. And my housekeeper, I haven't even scheduled her to come and help me do laundry, you know. And
you know, and I know you know what how the psychologist here feels about that.
I know you do. I know you're like about to grab me. You're going to drag me by my feet and say, "Come, Mia, get a grip." And even my Sundays, you know, after church on Sundays, usually we go to dinner with the family, and then I have the rest of the evening to just kind of relax. Mm-hmm. Well, I find myself now with Sunday Zoom calls, and I'm like, not one, but two, sometimes three. Oh. And so my day starts very early on Sunday in preparation for the worship service. And then now I'm late at night still doing work. And so this past week, just, it was a lot. It was just a lot. And Sunday was kind of the cusp of it. And Monday, when I woke up Monday morning, my phone had been ringing and I didn't pick it up. I usually have my do not disturb, but I slept past my do not disturb hour. So it was ringing, and then it started binging. And so when I woke up, I had like about 6 missed calls. And then I had maybe 10 messages that were like, call me, please call me, please call me. And none of these were like interrelated where I would think, you know, oh, something going on with, you know, said group of people. No, it was just different people. And I laid there in bed and I was just started praying. And I said, God, I don't have anything to give anybody. I'm like, if I even text somebody back, that opens up the door for them to pull on me. And right now I have nothing to give. I didn't even have much to even pray for myself. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, well, God, you know, see, we want to blame God in these instances, right? But God, you've had me working like this. God, you've had me serving like this. God, you've putting all this stuff in my plate. And I literally had nothing to give. And yeah. I know that some of the calls were important. And I know that some of them were needy for that time. I know some may have been time sensitive, but I literally did not have anything to give. And so I just took the day Monday and I rested. I ended up sleeping probably most of the day. Wow. I prayed when I could remember to pray, but I quite honestly, Barbara, didn't have much to even pray about. Just, you know, God, I just need you to restore me, to give me back, you know, my strength, my energy, my desire. I don't want to be a robot. Right. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we fall into robotic stage of just, I got to do, got to do, got to do, got to do. And we're just doing. And, you know, yeah. I don't want to be doing. I want to be being. I want to be being, you know, I want to sense God's presence in everything I do. And it was a lot. And so this week has just been, this is actually the first time I'm in my office. This week is Friday. It's the first time I'm in my office. I just needed some time to just step away and reflect and be quiet, be still and hear from God and let him restore my soul. So it's been very real, very close, and just kind of getting to that place of saying, God, I don't think I can give anymore. You know, that was the first time in my ministry that I really felt like that.
Yeah. And I wonder if there's going to be a bit of a recovery for you in that, because when we get to that point where we're at collapse, you know, we've been out of the what's called the window of tolerance for a while. And I just want to say I can relate. I want to just confess that I can overwork for sure. And, you know, I'm a psychologist and a minister. You're a minister and an educator. And there are a lot of needs. There are a lot of needs. And similarly, my husband and I, Pastor Tim and I, have been, we have some relatives that are, you know, into different kind of hippie things. And so Tim visited his daughter and she was doing this really cool tea ceremony. But with them, they kind of listened to the inner self, but he was using it to listen to the Lord. And he brought it home. And he's like, I'm going to do this with you. And so a couple times a week, we have this ceremony where we sit on the floor. We used to do it on the back deck, but now we're doing it in front of the fireplace because it's getting cold. And we sit on the floor before the Lord, and he pours water into the vessels, and it's like cleansing the vessels. Mm-hmm. And then he pours tea in, which is like the flavoring of Christ. And then we sit in silence and drink tea. And he goes through this process of like cleansing the vessels and putting tea in. he says to warm the cups, but I'm like, it's like this continual cleansing with the water of the word and then being flavored with Christ. Mm. And for 30 minutes, we listen to the Lord in silence, stillness and silence. Yes. And then we share what we heard. And Mia, you're not going to believe how many times it's the Lord is speaking with us as a couple. He gets part of it and I get the other part. And so we're learning to only do what we see the Father doing. And it's bringing literal healing to our hearts. Like, because I think under this work and striving and doing things in our own strength, it's a place where our heart is not whole. And he's bringing us back to that place where we're willing to say, 51% of my ministry is self-transformation.
Yeah.
That's I learned that recently. I forget who said that, but it might be Ruth Haley Barton.
Yeah. That I know when revelation comes, it comes, right?
Yeah.
Something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I went to Bali this past summer and Ubud is like in the central part. It's the most natural, naturistic part of Bali. And the hotelier, the owner of the hotel, invited my friend and I to join him in meditation. Wow. And every day he meditates for like 30 minutes every morning. And he invites people. So people come and they said he has like a open living room where it's like, you know, pillars and it's covered and there's a sofa. So it's like, meet me on the blue sofa. And so we're like, meet me on the blue sofa. And it was the first time that I really kind of sat through. It kind of felt like Eat, Love, Pray, the movie. The first couple of days, like, wait, that just been 1 minute.
Yeah. You know?
And so just being able to, by the end of the week, I needed more. I needed more. Because I tapped into God, into nature, just hearing God through the sound of water flowing.
Yes.
Hearing God through birds chirping, through frogs creaking, through crickets, just hearing his voice and the sound of his creation. It was such a peace that I have not been able to, you know, really articulate the depth of it and how it really helped me. So, you know, I keep saying, I got to go back to Bali. But the truth is, I love how you and Tim, you and Pastor Tim are doing it in your home. You know, you can create that sacred space and we just have to tune out a lot of the other noise and parameters around us, our cell phones, the televisions, for me, the dogs, you know, all of these things that pull and attract, you know, the attention from God and set that sacred space and time so that we can meet him.
Yes.
And God will always speak to us.
Yes. Amen. I think it's amazing that God has us podcasting today because I know how busy you are. This was a sacrifice for you. And I see that, especially after what you're coming out of. But I see the Lord's wisdom in it because Tim and I, we tried to build something financially in some other ways. And I'm a visionary and he's a visionary integrator and he is extremely talented and we are both go-getters. And so we can create momentum and we built something in a particular area and had a huge failure that the Lord allowed. And it was a financial failure, it was a failure in a couple different ways. And the Lord allowed that to burn up because he is teaching us about dead works versus his works.
Wow.
And it was painful. And we are repairing and recovering after it. And it was on the heels of several of other trials. But it's so good what the Lord is doing because now, you know, we're looking at some properties and we're looking at some possible ways to build. And we feel like the Lord is giving us inklings to rebuild some things or to build in a new way. But we are so aware that we easily create momentum. Like, you know how for some people, God has to get them to cross a threshold where they can build momentum. Mm-hmm. We're the opposite. Give us a day and an idea and we've got momentum on it.
Yeah.
And so for us,
deposit it and let's go.
The laying down of our soul life for us is to not run, but to be like horses under the bit, that we only run when we see the Father running. And some of this is our giftedness, and some of this is maturity in Christ. Like, I think about the fathers who have known Him who is from the beginning.
Yeah.
And there's like knowing God in every season. And really working with my flesh on this point, and where I actually enjoy work. I mean, that might be the case for you. I love learning. I like work. I like helping people. And recently He told me, I'm like, Lord, well, what project do you want me to work on between now and the new year? Because I felt like the Lord pulled me back on something that I was about to invest in. And He said, I want you to enjoy this season.
Wow. Thank you, God. Yeah. I think those are like sweet kisses from heaven to give us rest, right? Mm-hmm. And to live in the present. That's very difficult for a lot of people, myself included, to really live in the present and enjoy that moment. Because constantly, especially for visionaries, you're thinking about, oh, what's next? What's next? What should I be doing? And, you know, it's crazy that there are times that we feel like we're ineffective when it's really a period of rest. But rest is not, rest is an active verb, right? And it's like a car that's idle, right? And it's not stopped. The engine is still running. It's just running at a different speed.
Yes.
And it's running at a low speed. And you can still hear it humming. Every time, I don't know, my car, sometimes I've gotten out of my car and I've gone into the store and I come back. I'm like, oh my God, my car's still on. You know? Like, I didn't turn it off. I thought I turned it off. You know, it didn't hear it while I was in there. And I think that's what God wants us to still see sometimes, that our rest is like that. You might think it's off, but it's still running.
Yeah.
It's keeping the engine warm.
Yeah. He's at work while we rest. He's at work. He, you know, Jesus said, my Father is always at work. And I think about rest, the book, I forget who wrote it, but Sabbath as resistance, and rest is actually often resistance. And I think about codependency, for example, and all these works of the flesh that we do to try to fix and control and help. And I think about it, it's all of us moving out of the Spirit to chase, to push something forward, and sometimes to help people. Like, I think about Adam, Eve looked for something outside of Christ and was tempted by Satan. Adam chased her in that. That's codependency. He left the Spirit to chase his wife in her sin. And so, and so the Lord is calling us into rest. And I think the theme of the podcast is in that rest and even following Him from destruction and the God of Moab and Chemosh back into the promised land and the house of bread.
Yeah.
Following Him into that place of rest in that promised land, and not in striving from our own ways of doing it and even our cultural ways of doing it, like Ruth, that there's healing for the broken heart, because we're all brokenhearted and we're all restless, like Augustine says, until our soul finds rest in Him.
Until it finds rest, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is in Psalm, I think it's Psalm 34, and it says, God is near to the broken heart. And so, you know, I often, I quote that, I say it to myself, if I feel like I'm in a place, my heart is broken, I feel like that, I'm like, but there's no other time that I see God's Spirit, His being being as close to me as when I'm in a status of brokenheartedness.
Yes.
That He is near to the broken heart.
Yes. So, yeah. When we're hurting and it feels most dark, God is so attracted to us in the sense of compassion. He's so near. He's so near. All right. I want to respect your time. I want to ask for one more story. Can you share a time when the Lord supernaturally, like through an encounter with Him, really touched your heart in a way that was healing for you. I know you kind of gave us the, what happened this past week, but like a vulnerable place where he came and he touched you. Like in Heart Journey, we go back into memories and we bring Jesus in there. And mm-hmm. like Jesus has literally been my father and my mother. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up in these memories. And he's encountered me. And one of the things I've had a lot is dreams of one of the house I lived in the most as a child, and there was a lot of transition. I have dreams about that house all the time being renovated. And it's God renovating the heart home of my childhood. Mm-hmm. And so is there anything like that that you can share with us? And then I want to pray today because I want to pray for you too. And then wrap up.
You know, I will share about just kind of being uncertain about my gifts and my calling. And when God called me, I really struggled because he called me and told me that I would preach his word. And for me, I was raised in a very traditional church mm-hmm. in which women were not allowed to preach. Yeah. And I visibly saw my grandfather, who was my pastor, push down a woman who had stood up. You know, back in the old days, you give somebody a microphone during the service to give a testimony. And she said, God called me to preach. And my grandfather was like, no. He just struggled with her to pull that microphone from her. And it was like, nope, you didn't hear from God. Go sit down, you know, go back and pray again. And so I really, really struggled when I heard God. It was the audible sound for me to hear God telling me to preach his word. And then our church at that time was a part of an organization that did not believe in women as pastors, but really certain kind of women as preachers as well. And so I really kind of struggled and my whole paradigm had to shift about it. But then even as God really started developing my gifts, my spiritual gifts, and he gave me a gift of prophecy. And I really, really struggled with that one, right? I really struggled with that one. I mean, I think some people may desire that gift, say, oh my God, but I'm like, nope, I don't want to get it wrong. I don't want to be stoned. I want to only speak for God, but I absolutely do not want to have the responsibility of this gift, right? You know, because it is, to me, of all the gifts, it is the heaviest one. You're speaking for God. You're speaking out the things God's put places in your mouth. And even as I've operated in that gift, I literally do not remember the things that I've said to people. Some people have reminded me things that I've said, and I'm like, look, I'm sorry, but I don't remember saying these things to you. These were not words that I spoke. They were words that came through me. But someone asked me recently about that gift, and it took me back to a time I was speaking at a conference. I did a workshop, and I walked into the main session a little bit late, and the speaker was she was operating a prophetic gift, and she called me from the very back, and she was like, you come in. I'm like looking around like, who? And she was like, you with the blonde hair, you come up here. And, you know, she spoke over my life, and I don't remember specific things, but I know that she prayed on my gift of prophecy. And even still through that, I still really struggled with that. And I was like, God, you know, kind of like, take this cup away from me. I really don't want this gift. And I have been in places where God has activated my gift. You know, it's not like every Sunday I'm going to stand up and prophesy. I don't do that. But Barbara, I've been in rooms with people that it was like, for example, one room, it was a full room full of people. And God very clearly told me to go speak a specific word to someone. And I was very intimidated by that. First of all, who am I? Secondly, this person was a very high level person in an industry, not in church. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know even how he would receive this. And I stood there and I said, okay, God, and I did a little fleece. If this is you telling me to do this, then I need you to clear this entire room. So it's just me and this person in the room, because mm-hmm. I just wanted to be he and I. And if I'm going to say this word to him, it has to be that. And so, you know, sitting there, and I go to get a cup of tea, and he comes over to get a cup of tea. And then he's like, where did everybody go? And he's looking around, and we're in this room that had 30 people in the room. And it's now the point of he and I. everybody, when I say every single person, was out of the room. I get goosebumps. I can't even speak it. But so I said to him, I said, I have something to tell you that the Lord has given me for you. And are you receptive to hearing that? And he said, yes. And I spoke the word. And this time I remember what I said to him. And he just started crying. And he broke down. And he says, I was about to quit. And I asked God for a specific sign that he wanted me to continue doing what I do. And I mean, I cannot tell this story without it being so impactful. And I thought afterwards, of course, I thought, what if I had chosen to run inside and not do what God told me to do? Yeah. What if I had let my fears be greater than my trust in God? What if I had just shut up my gift and not used it? Then this man's light could have been extinguished mm-hmm. when God wanted to ignite it. God wanted to raise it even more. And I stood as an intermediary in that moment between this man's purpose and what God wanted him to do. And God wanted me to be used, but it wasn't just for him. It was also for me to be able to trust God on another level.
Yeah.
To see that if he gives me the gift, if he's called me to it, then I can walk in the authority of being what he's called me to be and do what he's called me to do. And like I said, I don't do it every opportunity I get. I'm not running around looking, oh, when are you going to prophesy? No, it's not that. But it is that I hear his voice so clearly that I can be obedient to the moment and in that moment and do what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think obedience is part of it. But I think also accepting that God sees you in a different space than you see yourself.
Mm.
You know, he sees you differently. And we can limit our skills, our gifts, our mm-hmm. calling by boxing ourselves in and not accepting the fullness of what God has for us.
Yeah.
And so it has to be a lifelong reminder that it's really not about me, that it really is about him, and that what he's going to do, he will do. And he's fully equipped me to be able to do what he's called me to do.
So, so beautiful. Dr. Yeah. Mia, thank you for sharing that. So powerful. And as we wrap up, I'm really sensing that there are folks listening that they're at this place where they feel like that man did, like, I can't do this anymore. And kind of how you felt Monday morning and how I felt with all of our fields burning up. It was like every single firstborn in our lives. Even my son even almost died. I mean, my firstborn son, it was like every single firstborn, everything was on the altar and the Lord was burning up wood, hay, and stubble and purifying. And there was a moment where I was like, can I go on? You know, and I feel that there are people listening who either feel that in their life or in a part of their life. And what I keep seeing is God's releasing keys of wisdom, keys of power. And I sense the Lord is saying that your place of peace is your power. Your place of hearing me in that peace is your power. You know, in that place of stillness, in that place of pause is your power, in that stillness and solitude. And that the theme of God bringing us back out of destruction into the house of bread, us following him to that place, just like Ruth followed Naomi, feels like the theme here. And so I'm going to pray. You can pray if you want to as well. God gives you anything, but I pray for the listeners, Lord, I pray for peace. I pray, Father, that you help your people to understand that they are the house of peace, the house of light. They only need to do what they see the Father doing, and that when they come back and lay down the striving and come back into that place of peace, it'll be their place of power, that there'll be direction. And I almost sense that, like, it's like, I feel like some of the listeners, some of y'all are feeling like, I have tried to listen, but I feel the Lord is saying the cost of what you want in me is time with me. And sometimes we have to wrestle with God through the night, like Jacob did, to have our nature changed. There's a wrestling with God in the stillness, in the darkness of the soul that we're talking about. And so, Lord, I pray for those golden keys of wisdom to come. And I pray for peace in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. And thank you, God, that your word says that you would give us perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because they trust in you. Thank you that trust is also power and that peace is power. Guard our hearts and guide our minds and keep us in that place that we can walk in power because we are at peace. In Jesus'
name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Mia, thank you for being with us. It's so good to be with you. And every time I think about you, I think I need to get me a pair of pink Converse, because she was sporting this beautiful green dress and these green Converse that went with it, the high tops. And I was like, oh, girl, that is a vibe. That is a vibe.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Dr. Barbara. I enjoy your spirit. Your conversation, it flows so smoothly because our spirits are aligned. Mm-hmm. And let's do this more often.
Let's definitely. You get some rest and I'll hit you up next quarter, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you again.
Bye-bye. That was such a wonderful time with Dr. Mia. What a dear friend and soul she is. And yet she is transforming so many lives. And even in that, she's vulnerable. She is being contrite with the Lord, and she is letting God be the restorer of all things broken. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Today's free resource is 10 Tools to Overcome Rejection. You can go to drbarbaraministries.org/rejection. I love you. I'm so grateful for you. And thank you for being with me and my friend, Dr. Mia Wright, today.